Let's stick with technology, and the US tech billionaire Elon Musk returns to Adelaide this week. This time, he's not here with promises of renewable energy solutions. He's here to give an update on his company, SpaceX's plans to develop technology that will help colonize Mars. Elon Musk is one of 4,000 delegates streaming into Adelaide for the world's largest space conference, the five-day International Astronautical Congress, which gets underway today. This Congress opens with news this morning that the federal government has agreed to establish a national space agency, which was a key demand of the sector as space becomes a $400 billion global industry. Michael Davis is chair of the Space Industry Association of Australia. He joins us from Adelaide. Michael, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
So the government's announced this morning that it will set up a national space agency. Do you welcome this?
Yes, we are delighted. This has been the end of a very long campaign for our association and for the Australian space community, and it's perfect timing.
Why does Australia need a national space agency? What difference will that make?
The main difference is that we will now have a governmental coordination of what is by definition an international activity in an international industry. So we already have considerable competence and capability in many niche areas in international space. But what we've lacked is that central government leadership to ensure that our resources are being committed in the right areas, and in order to allow Australia to sit at the table with other international space agencies.
So how have we missed out? I mean, up until today, Australia has, well, we still don't have it really, but Australia is one of only two OECD countries without a national space agency. How has that hampered our ability, our local tech companies? Have they been missing out by not having this agency, by not having that seat at the table you just talked about?
Yeah, we estimate that the size of our current industry in Australia is about $3 to $4 billion a year in revenue. Mm-hmm. And we are now aiming as an industry association, as a result of this governmental announcement, to encourage the government to aim for a doubling of the size of that sector within 5 years. And we think that's quite achievable, given the size of the Australian economy.
What would that look like? Sorry to interrupt you, but what would that look like in terms of jobs? I mean, we've just been talking to Jim Chalmers about the jobs that would be lost by innovation and automation and artificial intelligence. What jobs would we gain if we are boots and all into this frontier industry?
We will gain a proportionate number of jobs. We think that in our sector at the moment there are between 11 and 13,000 people employed. But the other very important aspect of this is that the jobs are high-tech jobs, well-paid jobs, which have a ripple effect into the general economy. And of course, it's a very good way of inspiring young people to study the difficult subjects at school of maths and science in order to qualify for the sort of jobs that you know, many people predict are our national future.
It's ironic, isn't it, or unfathomable might be a better word. I mean, at the beginning of the space race, Australia was there at the cutting edge of research and innovation. We were one of the first three countries in the world to launch a satellite from our own territory. We had the Woomera rocket range 50 years ago. We beamed images of Neil Armstrong's moonwalk around the world from a satellite outside Canberra. How and when did we fall behind?
We have continued to grow as an industry since the launch of ReSat in 1967. But we've grown in many disparate and uncoordinated ways. So it was a great start, but we didn't completely give up on even developing satellites. And this year we've launched three university-built satellites. We've got two of the world's most sophisticated television and internet broadcasting satellites in the NBN satellites. We coordinate other satellites and operate other satellites from Australia. So over the last 50 years, our industry has grown but the potential is much greater than the current reality.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is Michael Davis, Chair of the Space Industry Association of Australia. Michael, have the whole sort of terms of the space race changed, the space industry changed? I mean, the second space age, as we describe it now, is private companies dominating the race to space as opposed to big government agencies. So things have changed. The National Space Agency may not be as central to the development as the encouragement and facilitation of private investment and private development.
Absolutely. The role of an Australian space agency won't be to employ the engineers and scientists who develop the hardware and software and applications. This role is increasingly being transferred to the private sector. And so many of our members will be doing the work, will be developing the hardware and the software and the applications.
And as you say, it's not all about astronauts these days, is it? It's about satellites, and it's about satellites, sure, for you know, using our smartphones, but also farmers using satellite to monitor livestock and weather messages and all of that sort of stuff. But then there's things like the race to Mars, and we've got Elon Musk, SpaceX. He'll be at the conference. His company plans or aims to colonise Mars. Is he getting close to that goal?
The world's getting closer to those goals, and there are a number of different organisations and companies with their own private plans, and of course, an ambitious project like getting to Mars has traditionally been the role of the very big space powers, the governments, and it's hard to, and I'm sure that you know, the governments, the NASAs and the European space agencies, etc., will be very much involved in any human mission to Mars. But they're being spurred on by the entrepreneurs, and there's almost a race developing, not like in the Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States, but between the public space agencies and the private sector.
Well, just on that,
it's going to be a fascinating race.
It sure is, and Elon Musk is going to make an appearance at your conference, as I understand, to unveil the new vehicles that could ferry humans to Mars.
Yeah.
And in contrast, NASA and Donald Trump have set a target of getting human footprints on Mars in the 2030s. Is that a realistic deadline?
Yes, I think the 2030s is a realistic deadline, and there's nothing like a deadline to focus the minds and the purse strings. And I think we as a world community, a world space community, meeting in Adelaide this week, they're the sorts of goals that will be embraced and discussed and debated. And I'm just being congratulated by the chair of our expert review group. So I'm sorry for that.
That's okay. I'll congratulate you too.
And just walked past.
I wish you the best for the conference. Thanks so much for joining us, Michael.
My pleasure.
Michael
Thank
Davis
you.
Is chair of the Space Industry Association of Australia, organising this conference in Adelaide this week. And on the eve of that, the federal government has announced it will establish a national space agency.